hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
All the credits to Dennis for playing amazing, and he deserved to win, no doubt. He was a better player in the clutch moments. He stepped it up and played aggressive, served very well, very precise. There's not much I could do. Of course, I was not pleased with my performance overall, but I have to congratulate my opponent today.
That's defending champion Novak Djokovic of Serbia, who was upset Thursday in the second round of the Australian Open tennis tournament by the unfancied Uzbek Denis Istomin. The 30-year-old Istomin played the match of his life to beat Djokovic in an epic encounter that went five sets and nearly 5 hours. The final score from Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne, 7-6, 5-7, 2-6, 7-6, and 6-4. Istomin let out a huge roar of delight after match point. It was Djokovic's earliest exit in more than a decade at the Australian Open, a Grand Slam event he's won six times. After the biggest win of his career, Denis Istomin had this to say.
It is unreal. So to beat Novak in five sets, it's a great win, you know. I'm still like feel tired a little bit, and I didn't expect what I'm doing now. So, and what I did on the court. I like the way I'm playing. I feel just tired, and I don't think about that I win against number two in the world.
Meanwhile, there was also a big upset Thursday on the women's side in Melbourne. Third-seeded Agnieszka Radwanska of Poland was beaten 6-3 and 6-2 by Croatia's Mirjana Lucic-Baroni. Elsewhere, American star Serena Williams, bidding for a professional era record 23rd Grand Slam singles title in Melbourne, powered her way into the third round with a 6-3, 6-4 victory over Lucy Safarova of the Czech Republic. Serena is seeded second in Melbourne behind defending women's champion and world number one Angelique Kerber of Germany. Serena fired 15 aces and 35 winners against Safarova in an 86-minute contest under the lights at Rod Laver Arena. As my VOA colleague Doug Bernard mentioned during Wednesday's Sunny Side of Sports, Rod Laver Arena now has a Rod Laver statue right outside the facility, which was recently unveiled by the Australian tennis great. And Doug will be back on the show this evening with some sporty social media reaction from Down Under. For now, though, let's take a break for these Voice of America programming announcements.
I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans.
On Friday, January 20th, all eyes will be on Washington, D.C. for the inauguration of Donald J. Trump as the 45th U.S. President. Be a part of history. Join VOA for 2 hours of special live coverage on radio and television and on the internet at voanews.com. So tune in Friday, January 20th, starting at 1600 UTC, right here on VOA.
VOA!
Music time in Africa.
Awesome.
Tune in online for the live stream. Fridays at 900 and Saturdays and Sundays at 900, 15, 20 and 2200 Universal Time. Go to voanews.com and click listen. Then choose VOA Africa.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page, you'll see a great photo by Associated Press photographer Sunday Alamba in Libreville, Gabon. Sunday took a wonderful photo of a smiling Gabon fan at Wednesday's Nations Cup match against Burkina Faso. The Panthers of Gabon and the Stallions of Burkina Faso ended up playing to a 1-1 draw. It was the 6th draw at this Africa Cup of Nations tournament, the premier African football showpiece. In Wednesday's second match in Libreville, 4-time champion Cameroon rallied from a goal down to beat Guinea-Bissau 2-1. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Guinea-Bissau winger Piquetti, who scored his first international goal in the 13th minute to give the Nations Cup debutants a surprising early lead. In fact, Piquetti's impressive solo effort is being described as an early candidate for goal of the tournament. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon rallied in the second half, though. Sebastian Siani got the equalizer in the 62nd minute for Cameroon, and Michael Ngadu Ngwaji got the game winner in the 78th minute. This 31st Africa Cup of Nations tournament is being watched here in the USA, in Europe, in Asia, and all across Africa by football fans. Johannesburg's inner city Yeovil area is one of the centers of South Africa's massive African immigrant population. Here you'll find people from Senegal to Somalia, Mali to Mozambique, and many more nationalities. And there is no shortage of soccer fanatics watching the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations currently happening in Gabon. For VOA in Johannesburg, Darren Taylor takes us to the sports bars of Yeovil for this report.
Yeovil's rocky street is a glimpse of Pan-Africanism like few others. Stalls selling everything from cassava to cell phones blast Kwaza Kwaza music. Exhaust fumes blend with smoke from fish and chicken, charcoal grilled on sidewalks by women from Kenya, Liberia, and Angola. Groups sitting on crates converse in French, Portuguese, and Swahili. The Superbet gambling palace is packed with hundreds of people, all wagering on AFCON soccer matches. One of the punters is South African Thabo Motsepe.
I'm betting now. I was going to ride my ticket to bet for Ghana. It's a strong team in Africa, and they play a great football.
Men order drinks in the Funnelgore pub. A sky blue flag with a yellow star and diagonal red stripe hangs on a wall. It shows the bar's a stronghold for Democratic Republic of Congo nationals. But Congolese electrician Freddy Lendo isn't impressed with the soccer he's seen so far. He complains about too many dour draws and low-scoring triumphs.
The quality is not like a European team. The game sometimes is boring. 1-1, 2-1, nil-nil, it's boring. Yeah.
Yet he remains enthusiastic about the Congolese squad after the Leopards beat Morocco in their opening game. In the bar, Lendo grabs another beer and treats his compatriots to a Congolese soccer chant.
Congo! Alele Lyopa! Fimbo na fimbo! Togo shikote Afrique Bobimba!
He says DRC will also overcome the mighty elephants of Ivory Coast to progress to the quarterfinals.
DRC now is number one in the group stage for the World Cup. We have the good players playing in Europe, the good coach in Gabon. Gonna take the cup.
Lendo maintains just one other team is capable of destroying the DRC dream.
Only Senegal gonna beat us is finished. Africa's now is a new generation. Algeria is now is going down, you see.
But Thabang Moyo says it's Zimbabwe with potent attackers that'll cause an upset by making it to the semi-finals, at least. His warriors surprised by drawing 2-2 with pre-tournament favourites Algeria in their first game. In their encounter Thursday, they face another formidable opponent.
Senegal, it's nothing, Senegal. I'm not scared for it.
Ivory Coast, yeah, maybe, because Ivory Coast, we mustn't forget that they take that cup last. Zimbabwe or Ghana or Egypt.
Ghanaian fan Asamoah Mbun says three teams are capable of winning AFCON 2017.
Ghana, Ivory Coast, Cameroon, these West African teams. My friend, it's not easy to take West African teams out.
But ultimately, he says, Ghana won't be stopped because they've some of the world's best players.
The Blasters, Asamoah is there. The Dayu is there. Atu is there.
But in Rocky Street at the moment, no matter who wins or loses, the party's on, with Africans divided by language and culture, united in their love of soccer. Darren Taylor for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Thanks, Darren. I enjoyed your report. The Nations Cup spotlight is shining this Thursday evening on Gabon's southeastern city of Franceville, where two Group B matches are being played. The first game is an all-North African encounter between Algeria and Tunisia. And in a game that kicks off at 1900 GMT UTC Thursday, Senegal will go against Zimbabwe. Heading into the Thursday fixtures, the Lions of Teranga from Senegal topped the table with 3 points after a 2-0 victory over Tunisia in their opening match. Algeria and Zimbabwe have 1 point each, while Tunisia is at the bottom with no points. And here's another fun Nations Cup fact for our Voice of America listeners. Two men have won the Nations Cup as both player and coach. They are the late Egyptian Mahmoud El-Gohari, who did it in 1959 and 1998, and the late Stephen Keshi of Nigeria, who did it in 1994 and 2013. Keshi died last year at age 54, while El-Gohari died in 2012 at age 74. As Gabon 2017 continues with first-round action, the Sunny Side of Sports remembers two Nations Cup stalwarts, Mahmoud El-Gohari and Stephen Keshi.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting spotty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on the sunny side of life. When we keep on the sunny side of life.
Joining us once again on the sunny side for a look at sports social media trends is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Welcome back, Doug.
Big sunny greetings to you.
Sporty greetings to you, Doug. What is trending in the sports world?
Gosh, it's too bad there's nothing to talk about, isn't there? Yeah, I have to say, I'm going to preface this by saying, you know, I'm a lifelong fan of thoroughbred racing. I still love the ponies. I still love to go watch them. I still occasionally wager occasionally on them.
I think Darren Taylor earlier said punters. They call them punters.
Yes, indeed. Well,
wagers, bettors.
Yes, yes. The punters are usually the non-successful bettors, which is often me. Anyway, the point is that you can look at any race and say, well, obviously, horse number three, whatever, is clearly the class in this race, clearly just going to take. You map it out. You have it all in your head, and then you think to yourself, well, why even run the race? Well, you run the race because you never know what's going to happen. And I think we saw that today down at the Australia Open. I know you led with this today.
Great
this,
symbolism there with the betting.
This was a shocker of an upset. His name, Denis Istomin, or Istomin, I guess. He's an Uzbek player. He was 117th seed, as you know, and defeated the best rated player presently at the Australian Open. So a complete shocker. I've been looking around, a lot of talk on social media. So first I went to go see if this Denis Istomin has a Twitter account or social media profile.
Okay.
He doesn't. I imagine that may change. There is somebody out there calling themselves Denis Istomin, but they just signed up for that account and there are no tweets. So I think that's...
So a bogus account.
I think that's just phony. So then we went to go check on Novak Djokovic, his Twitter account. He does have one. It's Joker, N-O-L-E, all one word. And he has not... He previously he's been saying, you know, thank you for your support and whatnot. He's not actually responded yet. I imagine he will, but then again, you know, I imagine you need a little bit of time. So then instead of that, we were looking for hashtag Djokovic.
Okay.
Because the difference being one was his personal Twitter account, and the hashtag Djokovic is just what people use to say, hey, we're talking about this amazing thing that happened. And there's a lot going on there. Here's Andrea saying, you know, it's time to work on sportsmanship and improve court demeanor. He got away with too much. Referring to Djokovic. Now, I didn't see the match. I'm not quite sure what she's talking about. She's saying Istomin stayed in... what was it? Istomin stayed in the moment. Well, I suppose. Here's another comment. Poor Djokovic. It was a real tough defeat for him. Always one of my favorites. Headline I did not expect to read today, says Ashley Fowler. Djokovic lost in the second round to a guy ranked 117th. A lot of people kind of placing images, sending out these images of, you know, people kind of slapping their head and that kind of thing. You know, the moment you heard Djokovic, you know, lost in the second round or that kind of thing. So people I suppose, having some fun with it. And then under the hashtag Istomin, again, people talking about that, people giving real hearty thanks or hearty appreciation to this game. Here's a We Are Tennis. Here's a shock, a defending champion, Djokovic stunned. And I think We Are Tennis had an amazing statistic. I'm going to quick try and find it. As I do that, there's this quote that was tweeted out from the news conference with Djokovic. Quote, "It's one of these days when you don't feel that great on the court. You don't have much rhythm, but that's sports." So people, a lot of people just completely surprised, completely stunned, talking about it on social media.
And I think part of it, Doug, may be the timing early in the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not, you know, in a semifinal match
exactly.
or a final. It's early in the tournament.
Early in the tournament to, again, a player that most people had sort of thought, well, you know, this is Djokovic is the chalk. He's clearly going to win here. But again, this is why we play the games. This is why you run the horses. You just never know.
Istomin at the post-match press conference, he talked about how tired he was. The match, I think, took almost 5 hours.
Yeah.
And also he kind of said it's taking time for him to process this kind of victory.
Well, I imagine it is. And, you know, he doesn't have much time now because to process because he has to get on, you know, with the business of winning more rounds. And so the pressure on him, he's not been in a spotlight like this in international play before. So he will be under a lot of pressure under the coming days. Well, it'll be fascinating to watch how he responds.
Any other players trending down under, Doug?
None that I'm seeing right now. Of course, people still talking about Serena. That's more in the discussion of we hope she's able to win this title. Because if she does, I think that, don't quote me, but I think that would be 23 Grand Slam titles.
Which
would be a record. So I think a lot of people talking about that, but not a lot of talk. There was obviously some women's action today and some other men's action, but really that was the topic of conversation.
Anything else trending in the sports world, Doug?
Two things very quickly, both football related, and I mean American football. Of course, we're about two, three weeks away from the Super Bowl on Sunday, February 5th. And so, no surprise, hashtag Super Bowl is a big trender out there in the sports world. Surprisingly, though, people not taking a lot of time to sort of trash talk each other's teams, whether it's, you know, Atlanta or the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New England Patriots, who everybody seems to dislike. What people really seem to be talking about is Lady Gaga and and Gwen Stefani and who's going to be, you know, playing at the Super Bowl. There's just okay. So here's, I mean, there's actually Lady Gaga herself is tweeting out pictures of her rehearsing with her crew. Let's see, Lady Gaga will have, this is breaking, Lady Gaga will have no guests and will be the eighth person to do a one person show at a Super Bowl halftime. So there you go. I don't know why a lot of people talking about that. People even saying that they may even boycott the Super Bowl because Lady Gaga has been very outspoken against Donald Trump. So there's that. But also very quickly, you may have heard this week that the announcement that San Diego Chargers are moving to Los Angeles. Now, San Diego Chargers fans obviously are not pleased. Here's Ted Leitner. Ted Leitner is a longtime play-by-play guy for the San Diego baseball team and also the San Diego State Aztecs. He's tweeting out, you know, my heart goes out to all Chargers fans today. Hashtag Chargers. I know you're genuinely hurting. It's a huge loss to you. We love the city. A lot of people very angry in San Diego, but a lot of people also very angry in Los Angeles. They're just sort of, you know, there's a lot of people making fun of the new logo. Apparently the coach, when he came out in his announcement, said, I'm very, very happy to be, you know, coaching. And his words, for the San Diego Chargers, no, oops, you're coaching for the Los Angeles Chargers. So a lot of talk on Twitter about that.
Thanks, Doug. VOA's Doug Bernard speaking with us here in Studio 22. And that wraps up the January 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Substantial regions of Africa's Lake Chad Basin, particularly northeastern Nigeria, are at risk of facing famine. At least two locations likely already experienced famine last year. Lake Chad's shrinking, years of poor harvest, and a limping economy have contributed to the crisis. But the primary reason is the violence and destruction caused by the terror group Boko Haram, its attacks on the civilian population, the armed conflict with the Nigerian and regional militaries, and the resulting destruction of civilian infrastructure. In Nigeria, the Boko Haram insurgency has caused the deaths of some 20,000 people over the past 7 years, abducted thousands from their schools and homes, and practically stopped all agricultural production. It is responsible for the current displacement of 1.63 million people from their homes within Nigeria, where hundreds of thousands are cut off from assistance. The conditions are worst in Nigeria's states of Adamawa, Yobe, and Borno, areas where Boko Haram is most active. According to a recent United Nations analysis, some 8.5 million people there are in urgent need of humanitarian aid. In Borno state alone, 3.2 million people out of a population of 5.5 million are facing severe food insecurity. The UN estimated that 55,000 people faced famine in 2016, and that number could climb to 120,000 by the summer. Around 400,000 children under the age of 5 are severely malnourished, and UNICEF fears that number will also rise to 450,000. To help mitigate this crisis of food insecurity, the United Nations has put out a call for international donations to meet the humanitarian needs of the people of northeastern Nigeria. The 2017 Humanitarian Response Plan, Appeal for Nigeria, a fundraising effort coordinated by the United Nations, is for well over $1 billion. However, if these urgent needs are not addressed quickly, the required budget will grow. Considering that the 2016 Nigeria appeal for $484 million is less than half funded, the prospects for raising a sum of $1 billion will be very challenging. The United States has already committed $92 million in the first quarter of the 2017 fiscal year, bringing the total amount for fiscal years 2016 and 2017 to $291 million. This has become one of the world's greatest overlooked crises. We call on other donors to move quickly in providing humanitarian funding for the millions of people in the region whose lives have been affected by Boko Haram violence and to avert likely famine.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans.
On Friday, January 20th, all eyes will be on Washington, D.C. for the inauguration of Donald J. Trump as the 45th U.S. president. Be a part of history. Join VOA for 2 hours of special live coverage on radio and television and on the internet at voanews.com. So tune in Friday, January 20th, starting at 1600 UTC, right here on VOA. VOA.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 1730 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.